Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pat Fraley, purveyor of Duck, Doug, and Villain voices. And you're watching Altered Geek.
Returning for its second year is Grand Con, Gaming and Comics Convention. On September 19th through the 21st at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This year, be prepared for more. With a guest list that easily doubles that of last year's, with artists such as Mark McKenna or game publishers like Jeff Grubb, it's easy to want to come check them out. There will be a silent charity auction, tons of panels for gaming and comics fans, and the list goes on and on. Registration is open. For more information, visit the website grand-con.com.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 57. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me this week is not Mike Booth Ninja Powers, but a different Mike.
Yes, hello, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the other white bread.
See, it's the other white meat.
I know.
All I can think of is that coffee joke from Sweet Daddy D. Oh, God.
I'm sure I would remember if the reference was thrown, but...
It's on Jeff Dunham on the first special, Arguing With Myself. He says, you know, I'm like coffee, but I gotta go through a big-ass white filter first. Something like that. Something about a big-ass white filter. I don't know.
Still
They're
funny.
Making a left turn! You're making another left turn. Come back in 10 minutes. You ain't going to miss a thing.
When you get done, you've made a circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. So, how are you this week?
Doing pretty good. I will say the episode post, I will have some news.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be unveiled until tomorrow. Which would be today, technically, according to when this is released, but... So, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I've spent all day today, or all day yesterday, if you really want to get technical. I spent 3.5 hours on the phone, on hold. I talked to 2 people for a total of 20 minutes in 3.5 hours. Fucking government. Ugh. I'm sorry to drop an F-bomb, dude. I know you try to keep this show F-bomb free, but Jesus. My insurance sends me a notice of action that my dental cleaning, I guess the office coded it wrong or something or other, my dental cleaning, which is like $78, the insurance is not going to pay for it, yet I'm not being charged for it. It's some weird, stupid thing. Apparently what they coded it as is something only pregnant women get for their teeth or something. I have no clue. So I spent 3.5 hours on the phone today to make sure, because I noticed on the slip that on the piece of paper that the insurance company sent me, it's an address I haven't used in 2.5 years.
Nice.
You know, and even when I was living at that address 2.5 years ago, I had a P.O. box then. So I call the insurance company. Oh, well, we can't, we get all your address information from the state and the federal government. We can't update your address. I'm like, what the hell kind of crap is this? So after I get off the phone with them, I called the Office of Medicaid. Medicaid doesn't update addresses. I spent 2.5 hours on hold for a 5-minute conversation with the lady at the Medicaid office. I then spent another 55 minutes on hold to talk to Social Security. And I know when I moved into this apartment last October, I know I called Social Security, and I know I updated my address from my P.O. box to what this address is. And apparently, they still didn't have it correct. So, yeah, I've, in the last 2.5 days, I've spent, you know, a total of 3.5-4 hours on the phone with government crap. And it's like, oh my god, why can't you people do your jobs properly? So that's, I've been dealing with that. The good news, the exciting news is, this coming Wednesday, we are all going to get remote controlled because we are launching a brand new TV podcast here on the GCRN called Remote Control. It's going to take any TV from 2000 and whatever now is and talk about it. We're going to talk about the new season. We're going to have episodes on Gotham, The Flash, Red Band Society, Scorpion, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's going to be awesome. So that's going on there. Wasn't able to get a pull bag out this week, but I did get Tooncast Beyond Animation Direction Spotlight on Bob Clampett out. Let's see, what else have I been up to? That's pretty much it. Other than watching the Apple event, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a little bit, and seeing all the new Batmobile pictures, I haven't been doing much. Well, I will say that last weekend, in total, by this past Tuesday, I would have watched 20 different cartoon episodes for podcasts. 6 of those were probably... One out of the 6 He-Man episodes I watched was good, so 5 episodes out of 20 were just god-awful. So that's what's going on there. I think that's about it for housekeeping stuff, unless you've got anything.
Been working on images and stuff for Grand Con. But yeah, I mean, not a lot's been going on, other than editing this video that I'll have out. I'm not speaking. Just saying. So
get into the news then.
Yeah, I think with that we will get to the first bit of news, which would be TV. Any of these taken out of the list grab you?
I'm interested in Agent Carter, so it's nice to see a first look at Haley Atwell's, you know, seeing her as Agent Peggy Carter again, that's kind of cool. I will say something that's not on here is that apparently before we started recording, I started seeing news items about the fact that Teen Titans is supposed to be getting a TV series and supposedly a Nightwing pilot is coming. And
yeah, I saw the Teen Titans bit a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
The Nightwing thing, that's purely speculatory.
Yeah,
The Nightwing, or the Teen Titans thing is happening.
Yeah.
On TNT.
Yeah.
Which means totally not Titans. Anyways, on the plus side, Green Arrow wants to see Green Lantern on Green Arrow.
Wait, what?
Stephen Amell wants to see Green Lantern on Arrow. Which I could see it happening, but on Flash, which is the same universe, but I would see it in Flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so I mean, who knows? I really like what they're doing with the DC television universe. But full circle here, with the Agent Carter, I have no interest in watching that show.
I mean,
only because I don't care about what happened in the past of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, yeah, if there's elements where it may cross over into the future one, I would care, but if it's the past, I don't. But the episode, the fact that it's going to be a flashback episode, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm more interested in Agent Carter than I am in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know everyone says, oh, well, halfway through season one, it gets so much better and blah, blah, blah. I'm still of the personal, and my personal opinion is, I believe Coulson is dead, and that is a life model decoy controlled by Hydra. That's just my personal opinion.
You want my personal opinion on it? All of it.
I'm just saying.
The last third of the show was good, and they explain, Fury explains to Coulson what he did and why he did it.
And that's fine. And
there's no way he could ever be a life model decoy because of what happened. Plus, because of the technology and the alien surroundings, there's something that happened to Coulson. He's Coulson, but not 100% Coulson.
Yes,
because of an element that happened to him. And I think that because he's the new head of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're going to see him kind of reemerge.
If they did something to make him part alien, that is something that to me personally takes everything away from his death in the film. It basically ruins that entire scene.
Fury essentially said he's an Avenger because he stood up to Loki and gave him a good blast, and he did die, but yeah, he'd been dead for days before they kickstarted him.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing, like, I know you're not interested in Agent Carter, but, and we generally normally agree on, oh, enough with the origin stories, get on with it already. But in this case, I loved the Captain America era in the first Avenger. I loved seeing Howard Stark in action. I loved all that stuff. So I'm going to give Agent Carter a couple episodes. If it doesn't hook me, you know, it's no real loss.
Yeah.
So,
this might be more up your alley, though. I don't know. The Minority Report TV series?
Never even seen the movie.
Really?
Nope.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's never crossed my radar, honestly.
I was almost guessing you may have just because it's a Tom Cruise film.
Tom Cruise movie? Yeah, no. Tom Cruise movies at this point in time, I was still stuck in the 80s where he was actually good in films other than Mission Impossible.
Do you know what the movie's about?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, the TV series is supposed to take place 10 years after the film with the pre-crime unit dismantled, focusing on former pre-cog who's having trouble adjusting to normal life. So I'm not quite sure what that's supposed to mean, being that it is kind of based off of, I think, some books. Could be wrong, but I think I read somewhere that I thought that it was based off books. So I'd be kind of interested to find out what's going on with it. But I don't know if I'll actually watch the show. I might catch something like that on like a Netflix or something to that degree.
It's not. And since we're talking about TV, we should talk about CBS really quickly and how they're basically screwing all television because CBS now has Thursday Night Football.
Are you kidding this me?
Thursday Night Football started this past... Well, it started tonight, or last week. It started within the last 2 weeks of this episode airing. They now have Thursday Night Football. So basically, You know, the first time in like 3 or 4 years that I've watched Big Brother on CBS, the reality show Big Brother on CBS, started watching it, and it moved to Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday instead of Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Because of Thursday Night Football, The Big Bang Theory is moving to Monday night at 8 o'clock. This is why I say CBS is screwing all of primetime television, because now you've got Big Bang Theory on Monday nights, you've got from NBC The Blacklist and The Voice on Monday nights, from TNT you got Dallas on Monday nights, you've got CBS's show The Scorpion on Monday nights. Monday night is so jam-packed, my DVR will not record all this crap.
The thing that sucks about it for me, I'm in class until 9 o'clock on Mondays and Tuesdays. So I won't be home until after, you know, well after 9.
Oh, and I forgot to mention Fox has Gotham on Mondays. So Mondays is so jam-packed for television right now from any of the networks that I watch.
And I think that CBS may end up losing out on that deal. Only because, like you said, it's so jam-packed. Like, I didn't know that they were doing that. That's actually kind of interesting to find out that they're doing that. Because you've got all these action-packed shows that nobody's going to want to watch it. Whereas, like, I mean, even Tuesdays are kind of packed, too. I mean, you get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you get Flash, and then you get Supernatural, and all these other shows, which, again, I think Supernatural's ending. Yeah. I'm holding to that gun right there, but no, I mean, yeah, that's totally stupid.
Yeah.
But obviously somebody high up knows more than we do.
Yeah. I miss Thursday night comedies. I honestly do. This week, because of all these changes, not even, and because Thursday Night Football runs till 11:15, my local news broadcast runs from 11:15 to 11:35 now instead. So they basically cut off 15 minutes of news for football. And don't get me wrong, I like the NFL, I like football, I love the New England Patriots because I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, but I am of the opinion that we have all these sports networks. We have ESPN numbers 1 through a million and whatever else. We have Fox Sports. We have. Why can't all these games be on those other sport-centric cable channels? I mean, I understand it's a contract thing with CBS and Fox and all this and all that stuff to have it on network television, so supposedly everybody who doesn't have cable can watch the games. But it just... And the other thing that makes me so upset about this, you know, I mentioned, you know, we have ESPN number 1 through a million. We also have the NFL Network. Why can't NFL Network have a bunch of segregated stations for all of their damn game? You know, for all the... I don't know. But yeah, Monday is jam-packed. I have no... My DVR will explode. Basically, what's going to have to happen is I'm going to have to get some of these things on, you know, some of these episodes on iTunes the next day or something like that, because I can't, my DVR will not allow me to record more than 2 programs at one time. And if they overlap, one of them gets, like, you know, say Gotham is from 8 to 9 and then from 9 to 10 is Dallas, or from 10:01 to 11:50 or 11 o'clock it's The Blacklist. If any one of those overlap and it shows more than 2 programs recording at the same time, it'll clip all of them. It'll clip a few minutes of all of them. And it's like, oh my god. If I had the extra money, I would just go buy all the goddamn season passes on iTunes for all the shows that I want to watch that are on Monday nights. But that would be, I have like 6 shows at anywhere between 30 and 40 bucks a pop. I don't have that kind of money.
I don't know who does.
You know. Shall we talk some tech?
That might be beneficial. Well, I have one more point to touch on. Speaking of TV, Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
They're dubbing season 10 the demon. But it's spelling it with like Dean. Dean Mon is what they're calling it. Because essentially he gets to actually have fun, being that he's a demon.
Yeah.
The promo is kind of funny. I do think that they're trying to give it a little bit lighter note, but I also think that they're also trying to wrap it up with the what everybody loved about the first three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing, because they're in kind of uncharted territory now, so it's kind of whereas before it's kind of like rinse, repeat, recycle, you know, I mean, it's so it's I'm looking forward to it in any case. So I guess we should move on to tech. I think starting off with the other two and then working to the first one being Google has the self-driving car to be built in Michigan.
Yes.
Which I noticed the information on this earlier on, it looks like a car you would see in a like two-year-old's cartoon show.
It does, yeah.
Like one of those like Thomas the Train kind of front ends on it, the headlights and the centerpiece. It looks like a nose, a mouth, and eyes. Yeah, it looks insanely ridiculous, and it's a two-seater car. And it's got like a satellite type thing on the top. They're going to build it in Southeast Michigan, which, you know, whoopty freaking do. the thing I'm wondering is, because they're planning on building a fleet of 100 driverless cars that don't feature a steering wheel, gas, or brake pedal. The cars are powered by an electric motor and top out at 25 miles per hour. So where the hell are you going to drive these? I'm sorry, where the hell are they going to drive themselves? Because there's no road that goes under 45 miles an hour around in most areas of Michigan. And if they do, they go 35, because most areas that go 25 are residential areas.
Right.
So if you're out on the main road, you're going to get barreled over by a giant SUV or a full-size truck.
Yeah.
Because I'm
looking at the image of the car right now. This is, you know, basically, you know, reminds me of, again, I'm going to reference Jeff Dunham here, reminds me of his joke when he's talking about his H2, his big Hummer, or his H1, his big original Hummer that he had. He says, you know, we just got a Prius. I used to pick those out of my Hummer's grill, you know? And that's what these cars remind me of. I know you've seen the current Wayne Brady Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the smart cars that are on those that they can win?
I've seen those drive down the street.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just saying, that's where I've seen them. I haven't seen them anywhere else other than that. So, but that's basically what this looks like to me, is it looks like one of those smart cars that all these other... And first of all, a driverless car. Okay, sure. I'm a person that I don't drive. I have mild cases where cerebral palsy doesn't allow me to drive. But it's like, really? Seriously? I mean, this is what the technology has led us to. A very, very short, gray and white looking bumblebee car that doesn't even have William Daniel's voice in it. Screw that. I want to go back to 1982 and hop in the Trans Am.
I think that it's going to be like that movie where all the cars just gain sentience and then they just start hitting people and killing each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why Google made that Skynet clause for their CEOs. Because they've probably already developed Skynet and just don't want to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably called the Googs.
God.
I'm trademarking that right now. Watch, that'll be the name of it when it comes out. It wouldn't be the first name that's been taken from me. Moving on. There is Windows 9 leaks.
Yep.
Which I was quite happy to see because the horrendous Windows 8, which those of us that know how to hack it to get your old start menu back, it is nice because I hate the Metro interface with a passion. I can't stand it. I like being able to just use the menu like I've always done. My Windows 7 is set up exactly like my Windows XP machine, which in turn is actually set up like my Windows 98 machine. Because my theme and everything I use looks pretty freaking identical to the Windows 98 when I had it.
I mean, I will say, because I have Windows 7, I bought the computer I've been running now for the last 4 years. I got it in 2010. And that was thankfully before the Windows 8 debacle came out. I got Windows 7, and, you know, I came from XP, and I loved XP. I was really skeptical about Windows 7, but after I learned of the innovations that they did to basically improve XP without really doing anything to it that would make me not enjoy it, I love Windows 7. I remember when I had my XP machine.
I remember too.
Yeah. I remember when I had my XP machine, I actually went to I don't know if it's still live or anything like that, went to a website called RocketDoc. Because I wanted something like the Mac Doc, and obviously, you know, Macs are anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 depending on what you put into them. I didn't have the money for a Mac, and for me personally, Macs are ass backwards when it comes to the commands and everything else. I'm used to doing a lot of keyboard commands, so Control S, Control, you know, E, etc., etc., etc. So when Windows 7 came out, I was super stoked. And now that these images have leaked, I don't know if I'll be switching to Windows 9 right away, but I'm very happy with what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm enjoying the shots that I'm seeing of Windows 9. They did bring back the start menu, and the, you know, your typical start bar down at the bottom. The start menu has gotten a facelift, so it's not as standard as it once was. It does have some elements of the Metro in the menu, but it's on the right side where normally you'd have all kinds of stuff anyway. With still having your actual all apps and everything else on the left, which I thoroughly enjoy. And then the ability to, there's a built-in store in it, which, whatever. And then they have virtual desktops. Mm-hmm. So you can have, you know, different workspaces and kind of slide between desktops. So like if I have all my, you know, show notes on one screen, I can just have it on the one screen, or I can have my games on another, or I can have my graphic design on another. I mean, it's just, that would be a nice...
It's that, you know, the virtual desktop thing reminds me of what we currently have, where it's, you know, if you have multiple user accounts, like, you know, you turn your computer on, the Windows screen boots up. If you have more than one user account, it'll take you to the Windows main logon screen, whatever else, and you have like one or two, three, four different accounts. You have to switch between them to use two different desktops. That's what that reminds me of, and I like that it's integrated instead of having to log off.
Well, it's essentially... they had like virtual desktop software. Mm-hmm. Where you could do this. So, I mean, it's kind of nice that it's all integrated for once, because I think, I want to say the Mac has that ability, mm-hmm. and it always has, but I could be wrong. So, yeah. Getting into the last piece of tech before we go down a
Bat-hole.
Well, I was going to say, a night of dark driving. yeah, we should get into the...
Turn your headlights on, you jerk!
I'll blow your ass away.
We should get into the fruity news.
Yeah, it's... I nobody loves fruit. Nope. It should be called the Pear-U phone.
Lord. Alright, so Apple had their event. They announced the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. The only reason why I'm not a diehard, I'm not opposed to using, you know, like a Samsung Galaxy S5 or whatever it is now, the new one that Samsung has. And I have used other Android phones before, but one of the reasons, the core reason why I love the Apple iPhone is because I use iTunes for all of my music and all of my podcasts and all of my TV shows and movies and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, I would rather buy another Apple device if I was going to get one, which I'm not. So the syncing can be, you know, streamlined and easier. I think honestly the best thing to come out of the Apple event was Apple Pay. What?
Well, the only problem I have with it is you're talking about the same company that managed to, and it's not necessarily the company's fault, because let me preface this with saying celebrities are careless. If you really wanted to take nude photos of yourselves, use a digital camera, you know, like our parents did. Stone Age.
Okay, yeah, but...
So,
okay,
don't use your phone. That's a little... So, well, I'm just saying, that's just a tirade.
That's a little different from what they announced in the event.
I'm getting around
Apple
to that.
Apple Pay. Okay.
The point of that is, if they can't secure some damn pictures and keep them private, what makes you think they're going to keep your 6 credit cards or, you know, however many that you can program into this phone... to pay your bills, or pay whatever. How are they going to secure that if they can't keep private photos from going out into the interwebs and getting hacked? So, especially with everything getting synced to the iTunes and you know, the cloud and all that other crap, I'm sorry, but that alone speaks volumes to me.
Well,
And I will never trust a device with all of that information. In fact, I've never had Facebook Messenger because of what it does. It records all your information as far as your internet habits, your pictures, how long you're using Messenger, what credit cards you've used, what your credit card information, you know, all that kind of crap. I'm to the point where I'm going to take off the actual Facebook app itself because I don't trust them. I don't know. The internet security has gotten so bad. I don't know if it's because hackers have gotten better or the companies have gotten lazier.
It's probably a mixture
of
both.
I'm sure it is. And but... I mean, so to me, the quick pay thing, while it is a good concept and I can see things moving kind of in that direction, I don't trust it at all.
I mean, from what they said in the event, they said that it...
Continue.
I wish you were here, Mike Powers. I wish you were here to back me up on this, damn it.
Next time.
They said in the event that, yes... You put your credit, you know, you take a picture of your card, you put it into the phone, but Apple never keeps your information. They then generate some specialized purchasing PIN number thing. So the people that you're buying stuff from don't, basically they're trying to make it so the only people that know what you're buying, when you're buying it, is you and your bank.
Unless you've got Facebook. Because they're like the they really are Skynet. Well, it's along that thought of what I posted the other day on my Facebook. I don't know if you noticed that.
Lord, I have to go look at this now. Keep talking.
Well, more or less, I said something because I posted about the Facebook Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And because they said, you know, because of what was popping up, well, I found a meme that somebody threw together, and it's got two people talking, or pigs, or whatever the hell they look like. It says, "Isn't it great? We have to pay nothing for the barn." And then the other one says, "Yeah, and even the food is free." And then it says underneath it, it says, "Facebook and you, if you're not paying for it, you're not the customer. You're the product being sold."
Yeah, that's... yeah.
I get off my soapbox.
I overall, though, the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, if I was going to get one, I'd get the 6 Plus because I want the larger screen. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I am pretty much a homebody. I go out maybe once, twice, three times a month, if that. I don't like going out into the world, so I would just, you know, basically sit here and watch Netflix all day on the phone. Or I'd, you know, do something like that. Like, I'm not one of these out and about people where, you know, a five inch screen is going to bother me being too large.
Well, we can't forget Apple people are also the ones that, screen's too big on the Android phones. And then they're like, all of a sudden it's, great idea.
Yeah. Our buddy Matrix Prime from TFWire says, I had asked him on Twitter, "So are you going to get the 6 Plus?" He said, "Too big. The phone is over 6 inches tall. Got to fit in my pocket when I ride in my motorcycle." You know, I like Apple. I like their stuff. Honestly, if I was going to get an Apple device, it would be an iPad. Because, like I said a second ago, I'm pretty much a homebody. I really only want a tablet at this point so I can use Comixology's Guided View to read comics. I know that's kind of, you know, stupid just to get a piece of technology for one thing. But, you know, I'd probably use it for other stuff. But, like, I'm not one of these, you know, hustle and bustle people that need a phone all the time outside of the house. Because I rarely ever go outside of the house. How about Batfleck's new car?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Are we opening another can of worms?
Oh, no,
here?
I love it.
Okay.
And this kind of goes along with Mike Powers and I had said earlier on of, you know, we were kind of hoping what the Batmobile would be. Mm-hmm. And kind of looking at it, it's almost like a cross between the 89 Batmobile
mm-hmm.
and the Tumbler.
Yeah.
With a Formula One race car.
Yeah.
For the wheelbase. I am down with this car. I just want to see how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a pretty badass car. It looks like it's going to be fast. It looks like it's going to be sleek. It's going to be armored like the Tumbler, which will give people, fans of the Tumbler, something to mm-hmm. cheer for in that.
Mm-hmm.
It pretty much looks like it could wipe out any of the other Batmobiles.
Especially the 66 one.
Yeah, it would run that one over. The Tumbler would squish that one.
Yeah. I do love the... I do love the article here on the Batman-news.com, the title of the article. "The Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Batmobile looks like it would destroy the Tumbler." I want to see, like, a fully finished, you know, car. I mean, this looks really good. I like the way it looks. I think it looks really, really impressive. But I want to see it all glossy and shiny and everything else. And because right now, these pictures that we have here looks like the Joker didn't let Batman put the finishing paint, coat of paint on. But I mean, no, I'm digging it. I so cannot wait for Batman versus Superman. It looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I couldn't believe when I saw it. I started seeing pictures popping up one at a time randomly, and then all of a sudden the official picture popped, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. It just looks more like, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of the Arkham Knight Batmobile.
Mm, in a little sense. Bit, yeah.
So, in that regard, too, I'm kind of happy. Speaking of Arkham Knight, they actually have a release date.
Yep.
Which is a lot later than what people thought it was going to be, which is June 2nd, 2015, which gives me time to save up money.
Yep.
Because I'm going to get it for the PC.
Oh, really? You're not going to get it for the 360?
It's not on the 360.
Oh, it's only on 4.
It's on the one. Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 and the, you know, Robo Mechanic Diaper. Or... I'm joking. point being, I'm not buying a new system so I can play a game.
Right.
My system's plenty good for it, so I'm going to get it for that. I don't know if you've noticed, people have been kind of throwing around Benedict Cumberbatch because he's a fun person that everybody likes. Been trying to say that, oh, he should be Brainiac or Martian Manhunter in Justice League.
Justice League.
Which, I could see him playing either one, because he can play the kind of straight, no emotion character at times. But I don't necessarily think that that's what they should do. I don't get me wrong, I'd like to see both of those make a screen debut.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know necessarily if I would pick him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't know.
Yeah.
I like his acting. I mean, he's a good actor. It's just I don't know one way or the other what they, you know, should do.
I've only seen him in the Wrath of Khan Redux. And he, to me, after watching him as Khan, he would be all right as Martian Manhunter. He's not...
You need somebody that's more, I don't know. But I think he could pull it off, too. So, I mean, that's kind of hard to say.
He would be all right as Martian Manhunter. I don't have I don't doubt that. But as Brainiac, you need somebody more cold at... You know,
Clancy Brownish.
Well, I would say Corey Burton, because Corey Burton was the voice of Brainiac.
Oh, I know. But I was thinking that in my head.
Yeah, I mean, you need somebody who can... I don't know.
Get Jarvis.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait, he's already doing something like
Paul Bettany, yeah.
Which Wake they've Ricard- shown his look, too.
God, I know this is probably going to be insensitive, but wake Ricardo up.
No.
I mean, he could do worse. He's already been a grandpa in the Spy Kids movies.
No. That would be like saying, get Antonio Banderas to play him. They both have accents.
They probably would. God, all right. Well, I know this is an MY.
I'm being an insensitive ass, but...
No, I know. I know this is an MY, and we have nothing to do with Weekend of the Movies, but I have to say this. The only thing I didn't like about The Expendables 3 was Antonio Banderas.
What did you see? Puss in Boots?
Yeah, pretty much.
That'd be like putting Mike Myers in a comedy movie. Oh, wait, he's Shrek.
Well, I mean, Austin Powers is...
I don't know. I don't like him, so he's an ass. I'd rather watch Bill Murray, and I'm not a huge fan of him either. But at least he's not an ass. He's just goofy.
Now I feel really bad bringing up Ricardo. He passed away 5 years ago.
You dick. Let the man rest in peace. He already got blown out of the sky and the Reliant. So I've actually found an article of something which is disturbing on so many levels.
Is it from The Onion? Because usually whatever they write
no,
is
disturbing. No, it's actually from Sploid Gizmodo.
Oh, jeez.
It says, what happened to your favorite cartoon characters after they got famous?
I watched this. You bastard. I watched this crap, and it just... It's just so wrong on so many levels.
You have like, Droopy and Alf and Optimus Prime working fast food. And Jessica Rabbit's, like, freaking, like, hippo. And
it's a male's voice coming out of her.
Yeah, because she's so large and in charge. Then you got Johnny Bravo, you know, in the restaurant. You got Big Bird sitting there. You got got He-Man. He's bald and
well, he's half bald. He's got his side. He's got his side pieces. He's doing a George Costanza.
And you have Man of Arms. In the pool,
yep.
And oh my God. Castle Grayskull's pink.
This
and sunglasses. It's so ridiculous, but it's hilarious. It's scary too. That's why I said it's disturbing on so many levels.
What's disturbing is she doesn't or he doesn't know what the hell he's sitting on every time he goes back to sit on the couch. In the end of the video, a certain cartoon character does not make it because Jessica Rabbit sat on that cartoon character.
I think it's funny that they have, you know, like SpongeBob Industries Inc. and Beavis and Butthead Construction Limited. And you have like the Smurfs doing construction work, and you have Donald and Daffy sweeping the ground, and Inspector Gadget watching over him and his like hobo, you know, ripped up costume, and you know, insurance office. You get Top Cat and Care Bear and one of the Thundercats and Skeletor at a help desk.
Yeah, that was the best part about it.
Skeletor.
Skeletor is at a help desk. Yeah.
Because Skeletor is like, bitch hung up. which is funny. And then you've got Mumra and April O'Neil on the or not April O'Neil, Lionel next to the carcinogenic mutant vegetables.
It's
hilarious, but again disturbing.
Oh.
Garfield getting lifted with a crane,
and then all the I'm never eating at Burger King ever again.
Bring back bad memories.
No, something new that they're gonna be doing. Oh,
Starbucks or not Starbucks? Tim Hortons.
No! Oh my God, I can't. Oh,
wax on, wax off.
Burger King in Japan. Oh my God.
What are they doing? Oh my Lord. It's okay, this is just nasty. It's called the Kiro Burger. It has bread and cheese, both blackened by bamboo charcoal, and a special sauce made from squid ink. That just sounds disgusting. Yeah, let's put squid ink. and it's completely black. Like, literally completely black. It is so nasty looking. And it's funny because all the comments are like, I'm sorry, but that looks nasty. And then there's some other ones that says, so why is this news and what value is it to report in the USA? A nuclear blast in Japan, yes. A fast food menu item, no. It says Fukushima burger with extra uranium. Oh. It's going on the black market. Looks like something I'd scrape off the bottom of my shoes. It looks like Darth Vader would eat it. Oh, it's so horrible. These comments.
Oh, no.
Oh, that That's so nasty. Why did you bring that up?
I was looking through Facebook trending, and one of the headlines was Burger King to introduce Black Burger in Japan. That's what the headline said. Let's talk about your absolute favorite movie writers. Let's talk about them, because this just popped up. Apparently, Alex Kurtzman says the appeal of his Venom film is allowing the anti-hero to do things that you can't do with Spider-Man.
What, die? Kill? Explode?
Oh, Lord.
Shoot Spidey daggers? Like, I honestly, anytime that dude is tied to something, both him and his
hetero life mate,
whatever you want to call him, I want to gouge my freaking eyes out, because I've said this a million times, it's my other soapbox, but I can't stand the duo. Like, they were fine in Transformers Prime. They're fine when they bring a series out, you know.
Yeah.
Point
yeah.
being, you know, Transformers, Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them the F away from anything that's a sequel to something. Because they ruin it. And because people give them money, they keep hiring them.
Yeah, that's
It's
true.
Not that I don't say, you know, support the movie, support, you know, blah, blah, blah. I will not support them. I won't even go see a movie if they're in it anymore, because it's just, it irritates me. It so irritates me to the point that I don't want to even watch the movie. And didn't they write Amazing Spider-Man 2?
No, I'd have to look.
Because I want to say one of them was tied to it.
They're tied to 3 and 4, and this Venom thing is supposed to be a spinoff. But I'm not sure.
We're gonna show Venom's nice side.
Yeah, they wrote it.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. Which explains why there were problems.
Yeah, screenplay. Yeah, that's true.
Don't get me wrong, I did enjoy it, but I could sense bullshit a mile away when, oh, this is the most cliched spot, blah blah blah. Like, I mean, just dialogue kind of like that. I mean, granted, it's funny, and Spider-Man does kind of break the fourth wall sometimes like that.
Yeah.
But it's crap like that that just drives me nuts when those two are attached to it, because they just, obvious stuff is obvious.
Shall we take a quick break, come back, and wrap up with feedback?
I think we shall.
Alright.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy. Ears are too long and I missed the cape, but not too shabby, not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.
And welcome back to Altered Geek Unlimited. So, I think we'll get into some feedback.
Yes.
Yes. I will throw out questions after, but
mm-hmm.
And then if you have any, you can throw them out as well. Just don't throw them in the recycle bin.
What?
No, I was just getting at, yeah, it was a bad joke.
Yeah.
So, Freddie Savage says, so is it safe to assume you'll be talking about the new Batmobile images on the next episode, lol? And then I kind of replied, I was like, yeah. Brian Jackson says, I'm not liking the design. Looks too much like a sports car or a roadster. I'd rather see something that could put up a better defense. Well, in its defense, it does have a crap ton of armor. It looks like the Arkham Knight vehicle. It it looks like it's kind of a, like we've mentioned before, a cross between the Tumbler, the 89, and the like a well, I mean, if you did Zero Year, he had a roadster.
Yeah.
So I mean, they and essentially they kind of mixed it with that. So I mean, I'm fine with it. It's because each director is going to come up with their own Batmobile. That's just it's happened that way in history. So.
Yep.
So, anyways, I think that it was a smart design.
Yeah, I mean, it does look really cool. I'm just waiting to see the finished product. I'm really stoked for it.
I agree. I'm waiting to see it in action.
Let's see. Justin Washington doesn't get the hype behind the new iPhone. He says, Apple has long lost its crown for having the best smartphone. It is nothing but an image at this point. Nothing about the new iPhone is all that exciting, just a waste of money and time. I didn't get to say this earlier because Steve was on his soapbox. I will say, for those people who like working in landscape mode, I do like that they added the two columns to that, you know, with email and messaging and all that stuff and everything else. Rachel Manning had replied to him, yeah, I work at AT&T, and most people that buy iPhones just buy them because they are the phone to buy, nothing but name recognition. There are clearly benefits to Apple products, and they always have a visual appeal. I personally prefer HTC or Samsung, currently rocking a Galaxy S5 and loving it. I had chimed in with, I think the Supergirl show needs to be on Fox. That way you can cross over between Supergirl and Gotham. That would be kind of cool.
And then King of Kong says, but the Batman universe is already on CW with Arrow. And it makes more sense to cross over with Arrow at this point than her teaming up with a boy Bruce Wayne or Detective Jim Gordon. And then Epicurious says, why not just do a super crossover with all of them? It's only a matter of time.
Yes.
That would be awesome, actually, but you'd have to wait 10 years for Batman to come to life.
Yeah, very true.
And then Jesus, Scanner 51 says, Google Play has all JLU, Superman the Animated Series, and Batman the Animated Series, and he said, with hashtag, wife ain't gonna like it. Ain't gonna like this. Which is funny. And then there's also a continuation of the Man of Steel 9/11 imagery conversation.
Yeah.
Which I won't go into too much detail on that. And then Epicurious says, my question with Netflix buying Gotham before it airs is, what are the details of the deal? Are they promised so many episodes for how much they paid? Fox has already canceled the new fall show before it even aired and shows after a few episodes. If Netflix has promised so many episodes but the ratings are awful, is Fox stuck making more? I would be curious to see what happens in that situation.
Yeah, I wish some sort of number had come out about the Gotham deal and a few more details because, okay, granted, The Blacklist season one has already aired on television. So, you know, Netflix came out and said, hey, we're paying $2 million per episode for 22 episodes in that first season. Holy crap, that's a lot of money for one show. I'm with Epicurious. I wish there was a little bit more detail to the deal revealed. I honestly think Netflix isn't going to help because broadcast television, like Fox, NBC, they still rely on Nielsen. They still rely on Nielsen ratings and ratings of people actually watching the stuff on their televisions, let alone other streaming services.
Yeah, I guess so. I wish there was more information as well. I don't really know what the goal is of it and what the deal is. I think you're going to see a lot more information come out on that as things start going in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because it's so early on that there's just it's more or less as they said it was. Right, I guess we just have to take it at face value at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Andre Walter says, I didn't realize that Black Adam was outside the Batman v Superman stuff. That makes no sense to me. Why would they do that? They go against their MO, not saying it's a bad idea, just shocking. And then Film for Phone says, from what I read, it is still up in the air if he'll be in it at all. In a way, it sounds like Black Adam will have his own movie. And then King of Kong says, it is weird, but I'm okay with it. BBS was already overloaded. Adding Black Adam to the mix would only make things messier. Who knows? They can still team up later down the line, which I'm kind of that opinion. I think that eventually they may end up making them all crossover. But I think at this point they're going to have them stand alone until they figure out exactly what they're doing with this universe.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to get on my high horse about all this stuff, but I'm just going to say what I've been saying since last year when Man of Steel came out. Make Man of Steel 2 first. Then do a bunch of Justice League movies. That's all you have to do.
And they're gonna make Superman Batman's bitch. just saying. It'll happen. Because they're making Superman out to be this like hardcore bad guy. Like,
yeah.
Which they've been doing in comics lately anyway. Further justifies Batman's method for madness.
Did you hear a couple weeks ago the Arkham Sessions when they did Robin's Reckoning Part 2?
What about it?
Did you hear the podcast?
No.
For those that don't know, it's only because you bring this up about Batman's parents. Dr. Andrea Letamendi and Brian Ward have a podcast called The Arkham Sessions. Go to iTunes, look it up. You'll like it. It's basically all about the psychology of Batman, and they talk about the episodes in Batman the Animated Series. A couple weeks ago, they reviewed Robin's Reckoning Part 2. In it, Brian Ward asks the question, he says that Bruce Wayne doesn't want Dick Grayson to go to that point of having to kill Tony Zucco because he would eventually, if Dick Grayson had killed Tony Zucco, he would have become like what Bruce is. And Brian hypothesized that what if Bruce was at a moment in his life that he did this? What if he killed Joe? What if he went too far and that's why he doesn't kill anymore? Because he killed Joe Chill at one point during his career. Brian wasn't, trying to create any, not necessarily he wasn't trying to create interest or anything like that. He was just asking the question because in Robin's Reckoning, Bruce is so, gung-ho about not allowing Dick to get revenge and do something he's going to regret. What if Bruce in BTAS actually had already gone down that path? And that's why he's so dark as a character.
Almost like in the Flashpoint where you have Thomas Wayne busting caps and people.
Yep.
That'd be an interesting take. You see Batman and his second in commands.
Yes, yes.
So, I think that rounds it out this week. I was going to try and do a 10-minute blitz, but I think we're going to keep the episode rounded out at the hour mark. So, if you want to see those information, the military working on turning soldiers into Wolverine with healing, or Google Voice coming to Hangouts, a overview of the Star Wars Episode 7 Millennium Falcon, What If Batman's Parents Are Still Alive from Nerdist, which was kind of funny, and then the Internet Explorer 12 major update information. Those will all be in the show notes. So be sure to check those out. So until next time, You can contact us in the following ways if you'd like to do so. Again, please leave us iTunes feedback. We'd like some new feedback, please. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the episode post on the website, geekcastradio.com. You can get hold of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can get hold of us on Twitter either by hashtag AlterGeek or at SCP21, and your Twitter handle is Sir.
TF2 and Mike.
So thank you, as always, for joining us here on Altered Geek Unlimited. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.